We're now joined by Dave Pignota of the fourth period here on Reach Deep. What's going on, Pags?
Not too much, boys. How's life in good old Vancouver?
We're enjoying the beautiful weather. There's no snow on the ground, not to brag or anything.
That's okay. You know what? The snow's gone in Toronto. I'm actually almost in Columbus.
Of course you are.
Sorry to hear that.
The traveling man, Nashville last weekend. What are you doing in Columbus this weekend?
Guys trip, Ohio State, Penn State tomorrow.
Wow. All right.
Yep. Just, every now and again I get to have fun too, right?
I was going to say, the only thing to do in Columbus is an Ohio State game.
Well, you know what? Underrated, and I'm going to say this as much as I can because I've been trying to prop this city up for years. Underrated city.
Yeah?
If you get a chance to come out, I don't know when the Canucks play, unless they've already gone through their stretch here. But if you can hit a road trip, especially on a weekend in Columbus, I highly recommend it.
Do you know how ridiculous it would be to get a flight from YVR to Columbus? You'd probably have to take like three connections.
Probably.
Not the best.
But, I mean, yeah, there may be other options from Vancouver.
All right. Still
but
might be worth it.
If you happen to make your way, it'll be a good time.
I'm alarmed. You've been to Stockholm, you've been to New York City, you've been to world-class destinations, and you just gave the bump to Columbus, Ohio. I thought I knew you, Dave.
I'm guessing Tootsie's wasn't that great last weekend then.
Oh, no, it was a great time. But I'm just saying, underrated city. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So there's a lot going on with the Canadian teams in the NHL right now. The Canucks get a win last night, but still a lot of their concerns. Maybe not. They're not gone completely yet. What do you see when you see the Vancouver Canucks right now in the Western Conference?
Well, I mean, we've touched on this. This is where I kind of anticipated them being. A team that is going to be a playoff contender. They're going to compete for a wild card position. This is a group with a ton of talent up front. Goaltending has been sound. This is a well-rounded D for the most part. This is a talented squad. And there are some holes just like every other team. And, yeah, you want to have more games under the belts to some of these younger kids and another full season and so on. But this is a good group, and with the talent that's in place, they should, without a doubt, be competing for a playoff position and a wild card spot. If Elias Pettersson's tossing in a 100-point season, if Brock Besser is climbing his way into 40 goals, if JT Miller is continuing his pace, if all these things happen, then they're certainly going to surpass some of those expectations. But I think league-wide, a lot of people have recognized that the Vancouver Canucks are going to be a playoff contender, and it really depends on how the rest of the pack kind of goes. If Nashville continues to slide, the other teams out there, I'm trying to think of Calgary, excuse me, if the Calgary Flames, can't get their acts together, then these are opportunities for a team like the Vancouver Canucks to pounce and to solidify their positioning from a playoff perspective. So, I think where they're at this point is sound. I think it's solid, and if they can, take advantage of some of these opportunities as the season progresses, then all the power to them. But I think it's a really strong spot for them to be in, being 2 points out right now, but being in a position to make some headway and to solidify themselves as a playoff contender as the season progresses.
Dave, before we move on with the Vancouver Canucks, I wanted to get your thoughts on Nashville because it's ugly. 21 games, 9 wins, and penalty kill sucks. Their goaltending has been questionable at best. What's the next move if David Poile's going to make one? Is it go straight to the coach, or is he going to shake up that roster? Because it's ugly in Nashville.
Yeah, it really is. I was there last week. I was there for the 7-2 loss to Chicago. We're outside of about maybe 7 total minutes of that game. It was basically all the Hawks. There's some work that needs to be done. And David Poile has been scouring the trade market. He's been looking at what his options may be to really solidify things from a defensive perspective. Before his previous 5 games, Pekka Rinne, his numbers were absolutely lights out. He hadn't lost. His GAA was under 2. I think it was around 182, 185. His save percentage was .937. And then his last five games that he started in, he gave up 20 goals. And, you know, it's not solely on him. It's not just on the goaltender. Defense in front of him and the team in front of him has looked absolutely atrocious. And, you know, they're getting goals for the most part. They're in the top 10 in goals for per game, but they're second last in the league when it comes to goals against. And this is a defensively inept team at this point. It's not just the six guys on the blue line. It's the guys up front. So if they can find a way to solidify themselves from a defensive two-way perspective, and then that's certainly what David Poile would like them to do, give them a bit of a spark in that regard, then they'll be able to climb out of this little funk that they found themselves in. They're still a very good hockey team, and throughout a season, you know, the hockey gods find a way to kind of even things out. So I anticipate them getting back on track at some point, but they certainly don't want to fall out of the race a little too early.
Dave Pignota of the Fourth Period joining us. So I watched the Leafs last night a little bit, flipping through with the Canucks and Preds and the Leafs and Coyotes. That looked like a team that was happy to have a new head coach. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, short answer, yeah. I mean, this was a move that I give the Leafs and Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas credit. I did not, like a lot of people, expect them to actually go through with the coaching change midseason. It really came down to this past week where the conversation really turned to the point of no return, where, yeah, I mean, what else are we going to do? We've got to make some kind of move. There was just no response. And talking to a number of players on the team in the last 48 hours, there was a big sigh of relief from a lot of guys on that team. Now, they own it, and they don't want to see guys getting fired and whatnot. But, yeah, there was definitely a big sigh of relief from the majority of guys on that roster. They were, I guess relieved is probably the best way to put it. To see this going forward, for Sheldon Keefe to be coming in, it takes a bit of weight off the guys. There was just no response from them. They tuned him out. Some could argue that they tuned him out last season. And now that this change was made, they're now ready to turn the page, move on to the next group, to the next moment of their season, and to rebound. There's no secret that he lost the room. There's absolutely no secret that was the case. And again, this could go back to last season. You try to make that move. You try to get these guys back on track after an offseason. And I've harped on Babcock all season. I've done it on the show. He doesn't take all the blame here because management hasn't brought the necessary pieces in. Look, Tyson Berry's a good defenseman. Cody Ceci, for what he is a good defenseman. But these are not staying home guys. These are not Jake Muzzins. They're not going to bring grit to the lineup. They're not going to get dirty if they need to, and they're not defensively sound. They're offensive-minded defensemen. That's not what the Toronto Maple Leafs need. They need grit in this lineup. They need defensive prowess. They need to be better to perform better and play an all-around type of game. And they just weren't responding to the message that Mike Babcock was bringing. Now there's a whole new system in place that they've got to learn, a different kind of methodology to their game. And it's going to take a little bit of time to get on track. But, hey, Tyson Berry scores last night. Engvall gets his first goal. Matthews scores as well. Good response in their first game, but let's see how they do over a 5-10 game span, having to learn a new system, because they've made it clear to the team that, all right, we made the change, but now it's on you guys to learn this system and to get it back on track.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by David Pignota of the Fourth Period. Dave, when we look at Mike Babcock and where he goes now, is his name still at the top of the list if teams are looking to hire down the road, or has that stock fallen significantly?
No, look, Mike Babcock is the right guy for a team that's ready to win. And it's not a cop-out excuse, and this isn't to throw, you know, a bit of shade on him to say, well, just give me a good team and, yeah, okay, it should be easy to win. No, this is a type of coach that if you need that extra push, if you feel you've got a team that's ready to compete for a Stanley Cup and battle for a cup now, you've got the right pieces in place, you just need that right guy behind the bench to press the right buttons. Mike Babcock is that guy. Similar to when the LA Kings made their change in 2012 and brought in Daryl Sutter, another guy that a lot of players you ask around the league that have played for him never really were on the same page overall. But when you're winning, that changes everything. So they brought Daryl in. They win two Stanley Cups in a three-year span. You know, that it worked out. Mike Babcock is that type of a coach. You bring him into an environment where you're ready to win now, he'll put you over the top. Is that an option now for some teams out there? I'm not overly sure. Does he want to wait and collect the paycheck and, you know, in a couple of years go to Seattle? They're sure as hell going to go to him and see if he wants to coach there. It's up to him if he wants to be in a position to be in a brand new environment. If you can predict that what Seattle's going to do in a couple of years is what Vegas was able to do, then I'm sure he'll take it. But you know, we'll see how that transpires. I don't think we're going to see Mike Babcock behind the bench later on this season. But you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens in an environment like Calgary or Nashville or some of these teams that are supposed to be contenders that continue to struggle. If they do continue to go that route, well, they got a hell of a guy available to them if they want to go there.
Is Bill Peters next?
Let's see how long this. Let's see how much longer that trend continues in Calgary.
They did this to Gullitson, right? They tuned him out and essentially said, we need a new guy in here. And it sounds like, you know, Treliving's not going to allow that to happen again. He's got to stand up and kind of, you know, give these guys a little bit of tough love. They can't always get what they want.
Oh, exactly. Look, some of these guys need a nice smack. And
yeah.
at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, okay, it didn't work a couple of years under one coach. Now we're a year and a half into this regime, and we don't want to get that met. No, sometimes you need a nice kick in the backside to get you back on track and to realize that, hey, this is on you too. We were a good team last season. We didn't change that much. What the heck happened in the last 6 months that makes you believe that you can dictate a coaching change? At some point, the players have to own up to what's happening and realize that a lot of their performance is on them. And if you're the big guns on that team, whether you're a Sean Monahan or a Johnny Gaudreau, Mark Giordano, after a great season, should be the guy, really. You know, we want to have a closed-door meeting. He should be the guy to take these guys aside and say, boys, we got a good team here. We should be able to get over this hump. It's just a matter of when is that going to happen. And if that message doesn't happen, then I suspect that Calgary might be more inclined to make a roster move. And I know that Brad Treliving is looking at the market and seeing what's out there. They may be more inclined to shake up the roster versus making that move behind the bench first. Toronto was different. A couple assistant coaches were changed in the offseason. They make a couple roster moves. It was a little bit different than what's happening here in Calgary for a guy that's now in his second season behind the bench versus a guy in his fourth.
Dave, we've heard the Johnny Gaudreau rumblings and whether that could happen or not. From Calgary Flames' point of view, and I get your reaction right there, could you ever even get fair value for a guy like Gaudreau on the market?
Now you can, because he's within that age bracket where you throw him with some other, you know, studs and he's just going to get back on track. I mean, I don't anticipate Calgary seriously looking at moving Johnny Gaudreau unless you're talking about equal talent, unless you're talking about swapping out a star for a star like we used to see back in the day, pre-cap era. I just don't really see that being an issue. That being a realistic option right now for Calgary. We used to see back in the day the Pronger for Shanahan type moves and those kinds of things that happen. You'll want to see that again because they're exciting. I think it would take that caliber of a trade for Calgary to really consider moving Johnny Gaudreau. They're not going to move him for a couple pieces because, oh no, the sky is falling. No, they're going to want talent. And talking to a few people in Calgary as well, guys, I just don't think there's a realistic shot that they consider moving Johnny unless, again, you're talking about an equal or better type of talent coming back.
Dave, we appreciate the time. Safe travels down to Columbus.
Thank you very much, boys. And, hey, I'm in town in a couple weeks. Be ready.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We're
all
ready.
Right.
I'm ready. I don't know about Reach.
I'll be ready. We'll be ready.
You can start training right now.
There we go. I like it.
Thanks for this, Pegs.
All right. See you, boys.
Sportsnet 650.